Does anybody want a best friend tonight? He's your best friend. You and I can't do this on our own. He never called me to do it on my own. He called me to pick up my cross. And as I pick it up, what does that mean? Well, here's one thing it means. All my internet posts, all my social media stuff, everything I've ever said, I might have to do a recorrection. I might have to take a few things down. I might have to admit to myself that in all my anger and frustration and whatever I wrote there, because it was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I was so good I knew more than anybody else online. You ever had that, Terry? That's what happens, right? No, people do that. But God is so good because he gets us to the point where we say, you know, I don't know much. And then we start picking up our cross. We get over, and he starts to speak to our hearts. And he says, you know, I know, Sunil, that you've had to sacrifice some stuff, and you've had to leave some things behind. But I want you to know something. You're going to have me. That's what happens to all of us when we start to just walk with him. Amen? He's just going to make himself more real, more beautiful. I can testify 2 days ago I had my most beautiful day with Jesus ever. Yeah, it was amazing. I went to bed and I couldn't sleep for about 2 hours. It's like, shut my eyes, I'm like, there he was. Isn't God good? What did I do to deserve that? Well, I don't know. It was grace, but he's getting us, I believe he wants us to walk into fellowship with him. You know, the biblical term for him being your best friend is this, that you will have fellowship. Fellowship. So I want to talk, so I guess my message is this. The blood covers us, and that's the grace that covers us. But he wants to get us to the grace that sanctifies us, that makes us more like Jesus, where he becomes our friend. It's not just an acquaintance. It's not just somebody I know a little bit about. It's somebody I can scream out to. It's somebody I can call upon. He's somebody who, he's like my lifeline. He becomes my lifeline. He helps me to talk to him. He helps me to get to know him. So God wants to move us in that direction, and that's called sanctifying grace. He gives us grace to change, grace to be a different person. He starts to clean up some of our desires. He starts to give us that new heart. It starts to pulsate within us. It's the heart of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, some of the feelings start to change. You know, feelings are servants of other things. Feelings are not the dominion of your life. They're not your king. Well, maybe they are. Just say, Jesus, you're my king, though. Tonight, why don't you make a difference and say, Lord, you be my king. Don't let my feelings be my king. I want you to be the king. And when my feelings are great, thank you, Jesus. But when they aren't so great, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. Because, guess what? As long as you got the cross on your back, you're going the direction you should go, he will guide you, and he will lead us. But guess what else was in the Garden of Eden? There was the tree of life. And so that's what Paul gets at, and I kind of skipped that whole passage in there. I'm probably going to keep it out. But Paul is basically saying, through one act of disobedience, sin came in, and then through sin comes death. And then he says, through one act of obedience, when Christ gave his life, righteousness came in, and then through righteousness comes eternal life. How's that for a thought? That's called restoration theology, and Paul started it, and nobody else can take credit for it. But he got it from the Holy Ghost. He got a download from heaven. That helps us to understand the overall plan of what God's doing in the whole universe. Wow. It wasn't just a little bit of understanding. Paul got a great lot of understanding here that this is what's going on. Now, you know, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Come on, Sunil. We live in the modern era. Canada has made it to the semifinals in soccer. Yes, how can this be relevant to my life? It's relevant because we're all dead in trespasses and sins until we come to Christ. And then the hard part is this, that if we don't renew our minds like it says in Romans, then we're going to just live as though we're still dead in trespasses and sins, even if we're not dead in trespasses and sins. You get that one? We are naturally given to live an independent lifestyle instead of a dependent upon the Father lifestyle. So he wants to take us, and he wants to do that to us. So I'm going to suggest something here, and I'm going to use an example. I'm not going to say who it is. Somebody close to me went through a divorce, and he stayed with his partner who he was married to for 6-7 years, for 5 months in the same house without getting in a fight. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil will say, what a good boy. It's amazing you can live with that person and then divorce them. What a good boy. I say, what a broken down person. That he can't fight for his marriage. That he can't get in a fight for his marriage. We got to fight sometimes for the things that matter in our lives, don't we? And you know what it means to me? We don't know intimacy. We put up walls when we're like this. We'd rather keep the wall up than let everything fall apart. I'd rather keep that wall of defense up so nobody can come in to my emotional land. But if we're willing to let the walls down tonight, the Lord wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be open to Him. He wants us to be vulnerable. I mean, better to be a blubbering child before King Jesus than some stoic philosopher. Better to be somebody who's fallen apart, knows they're naked, wretched, miserable, and poor. Like the Bible said, the Laodiceans were like that, but they didn't even know it. Better to know it so we can come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, He'll help us. You know, so sometimes our problem is, well, we're the problem. Sometimes the problem's right in here. It's not out there. It's not God. It's not other people. But what a beautiful thing that the Lord cares about our intimacy needs. What a beautiful thing that God can reach into our heart, and it could be hard, and oh, but He gives us a softer heart. He starts to work on it. He starts to put that, I guess, that oil in there, rub it a bit, and make it more pliable. What a beautiful thing. I'm almost done. Galatians 5:25, which I didn't put in there, says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's how I see that verse. Living in the Spirit is like you're covered by the blood of Jesus. You have eternal life in you, but it may not be doing much other than just keeping you standing still. The car's idle, it's revving, but at least you got a car. That's good. But to walk in the Spirit means now you can drive the car. You can go from point A to point B. And that's what the Lord is after. He wants us to walk, to stay in step, which was also preached this morning at the end of Pastor Terry's message, to be in step with the Spirit. He wants to bring us into a relationship of knowing Him like that, that I might know Him. Isn't it great to think about this, that to know the Spirit is to know Christ? Isn't it great to know that the little leadings and proddings He gives you? Today, Angie and I went to do something, and I'm grateful for friends that guide, and I'm grateful for, like, we were looking for something, and it was a big decision, and I was just sitting there going, imagine you go up to a big, huge plane. You invest your whole career, your whole life into, you might buy the plane. You look at it and you walk along it and you see the contours of it. But there's this nagging feeling inside of you that says, this is not what you want. Anybody ever had a nagging feeling lately? This is not what you want. But wait a second, I thought it's a great idea. For whatever reason, I love the Holy Spirit for basically telling me through people, through situations, through friends, through the church, but most of all, in my spirit. No or yes. And quite often, no. I'm excited. Maybe I'm the only weird person up here this excited, but in the building. But isn't it awesome that he loves us that much that he would so guide us? He's after that guiding of our lives. In Revelation 3:20, this is where I'm going to end my message now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. Did you know that he was talking to Christians? They'd already come to Christ. And yet, he said, are you going to answer the door tonight? Is he calling to you to have a deeper walk where you come out of just the blood of covering and the grace of covering to the grace that sanctifies and empowers us? And I told you I wasn't going to preach on empowerment, the last two. Empowerment and endowment. I didn't preach on those. I'm a good boy. Woof, woof. No, I didn't preach on those. I stuck to my point. But he wants to move us into intimacy. That's what it means that I will come into him and will sup with him. That's what I had a great day of intimacy 2 days ago, and I'm looking forward to a lot more. He can be the most intimate, beautiful person. Didn't we sing a song, Beautiful One, tonight? It's so wonderful that all these songs are so right on. Thank you, guys. He's the beautiful one. It's not us. Revelation 22:2 ends like this, if you want to put that up there. In the middle of its street, this was a vision that John had of the city of God and a river that was flowing. In the middle of its street, on the other side of the river, was the tree of life. So the river was both the tree was in the river and it was on both sides. It bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. All of a sudden, Genesis starts with the tree of life, and the Bible ends with the tree of life. Man didn't write the book. God did. You know, there's 66 books in the Bible, and there's all kinds of various authors. They didn't get together. They weren't even living at the same time and have a conference. Well, we'll put Revelation at the end because it was decided the way it was decided because God decided a certain pattern through history. But the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. Whatever your need is tonight, the leaves of the tree of Jesus Christ is for the healing of the nations. So let's walk after him tonight. Let us come to him. If you want to seek him at the altar, it's up to you, but wherever you are, just tell them where you're at. I'm going to close in prayer. The worship team wants to come.